It's my joy this morning to begin this new series that we'll be going through from this week until the month of November, where we are looking at Book 2 in Psalms. Now, if you open up your Bibles, you will notice that, especially those in the pews here, you will notice that before Book 2, before Psalm 42, there is a bigger heading. It says Book 2, Psalms 42 to 72. We're not going to go through every psalm, because just like last year when we went through Book 1, we will highlight some salient and nuanced psalms, and I hope it'll be a development of our spiritual formation, and especially in how we pray and how we put our trust in God. Now, some of you may ask this question: why preach the psalms? Isn't preaching the psalms like preaching through the music, a music book? Isn't preaching the psalms like taking out the Baptist hymnal and going from one song to another and then see what we can glean for it? Well, yes, in a sense, because it is a liturgical passage of the, it is a liturgical book in all of the Bible. But I think there are some very important points to consider as to why we should preach the book of Psalms. Number one is the Word of God. Psalms is the Word of God. Psalms is not just a song, it's not just a song list by Bono, it's not Backstreet Boys Return, it's not Spice Girls 2.0. It is God speaking through musicians, God speaking through writers to give a prescription on how we can worship, pray, and meditate meaningfully. Now, if you are new here or you've been here a while, you find it very interesting on how Christians use the word meditate. Meditate in number 18, Jalan Pantai 9/7, is very different compared to meditating in number 20, Jalan Pantai 9/7. Right? Meditating next door is the invitation to empty your mind and think of nothing, almost as if nothing was something. So much so that in that nothingness, you will find the things that matter, and then you focus on that to go beyond what you so desire. To me, it doesn't make sense. Because what do we say? An idle mind is the devil's playground. What manifests when we empty our minds? Well, actually, the desires of our heart. That is the struggle of every humankind. When we allow our minds to stop thinking, we allow our soul, our emotion, our whole being to manifest out. And without parameters, without direction, we will be like a child. We'll be like a child expressing their anguish, which is true, but without a framework of understanding. So number one, it's the Word of God. Therefore, it will give us good foundations in our faith. Number two, they preview the full-time our future full-time job. What's the only job that we will do when we go into the presence of God on the final days? We will worship. We will worship with thousands of people, millions and millions of people, thousands of languages. You know, it's interesting that we sing mostly English, sometimes Malay. But I'm so thankful that Brother Kwan Leng, earlier we prayed for our Filipino congregation, Mandarin, Cantonese, Bahasa, and think about that diversity before the throne of God. That will be our full-time job. So how then can we get ourselves ready in our full-time job in worship? Well, let's see how the Psalms direct us to worship God. Thirdly, it's the Word of God. And therefore, it is the obligation and the immense privilege and responsibility of the pulpit to preach the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. Yeah, it is my hope that in the next year, we will go through expositionally a gospel. I checked the archives of Pantai Church. We have not gone through expositionally a whole book of the gospel, whether it be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I am looking forward to see how the Lord leads in how we consume that part of Scripture next year. But in the meantime, as important as it is the witness of Christ, so too are these words in Psalms where it teaches us the worship of Christ. So we need to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. So I hope that as the Word of God is preached, you then receive the Word of God by His Spirit. Fourthly, they give insight to the gospel and culture. Music has this very interesting lateral effect. It's not just songs that fills one's emotion. It is songs are also representations of a culture. It is either a counter towards, it is either a reflection of the culture of the day, or it is a counter to what's happening in the culture or what's happening in today's culture. You know, so some of you may remember one of my favorite music bands is actually Black Eyed Peas. In 2003, their hit number one hit single was number one for 3 months straight, and it's talking about where is the love. Because why? In that time, in 2003, 2 years after 9/11, people were starting to hate each other a lot. And that's why that song begs the question, where is the love? People killing, people dying, children hurt, come hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, or would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning, where is the love? So Psalms, therefore, is a reflection of a culture then, and because it's the Word of God, it has much to say about culture today. Many of the big hits of music in the music industry has a lot of elements of Christianity or gospel inclination. If it's not a typical pop song talking about relationships, breakups, clubbing, and drinking, the very complex music tend to have a reflection of Christian message. For example, if you are a friend of Bono, you know, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. What's that about? He went through the whole world and realized there's still nothing he finds, there's nothing that he in his very soul is looking for. And then the final verse, I believe the kingdom comes, yeah, where your love leads unto word. Leads unto word. Yeah? You broke me down from my pain, carried the cross of my shame, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. This is the Church of Bono in the Gen X days in the 1990s and 2000s. Why was it such a reverberance in the hearts of them? Because they were looking for something that is more than themselves. And the Psalms can do that for us. Oh, and by the way, did I mention it's the Word of God? You will notice there's a repetition here. 3 times I mentioned the Word of God. And what you will find in Psalm 42 and 43, there's a chorus repetition. And so I hope that we have a good digested understanding of what do we mean that it is not good to have vain repetition. That's what Scripture says. It's not good to have vain repetition. And so we are careful that when we pray with honesty and sincerity, yeah? And we try and not repeat ourselves again and again and again. Why? Because it may lead to vain repetitions where we are just emptying and saying the same thing again and again, yeah? So that's why the Lord's Prayer, on some days it can be real deep meaning. On other days, in many other churches, because they recite it every day or every week when they gather, it becomes vain repetition. But please understand, it is not the repetition that we are demonizing. It's not the repetition that is wrong. But when we do the repetition in vanity, meaning we're just doing it empty-minded, we're just doing it without really thinking deeply, you know, so what that means is that if you can repeat the chorus 10 times and still understand and strike the meaning and let it reverberate in your heart again and again and again, then those 10 repetitions are not vain repetitions. But if you repeat the chorus twice and you really never thought deeply as to what you're singing or thinking or feeling about based on the message of the music, then it lies or it hits flat. So that's the importance of preaching Psalms. It's the Word of God. It's our full-time job in the future. It gives us a glimpse on how the message, the very words and songs of God, the culture of God, can impact the culture of society today. Yeah? And ultimately, it's God's Word. Now, what's so special about Book 2? Well, Book 2 in Psalms is an interesting book. Because, number one, you have a plethora of authors. So it's not just David, although David and Solomon is the contributor to the majority of all the 30 Psalms that is in Psalm 42 to 72. You also have authors like the sons of Korah, which Psalm 42 and 43 is from. That's why if you see the Psalm 42, there's a little subheading there. It's actually in the text of the Bible, where it says, for the director of music, okay, so they're submitting it to the director of music, it is a maskil, which is a kind of music style, of the sons of Korah. Now, who are the sons of Korah? The sons of Korah are the descendants of Korah, and Korah is the other son of Aaron. You have to remember that back in the days of the wilderness, they were choosing which house should serve in the temple as priests. And as they drew lots, the lot fell upon the Levites and they will be the priests. The son, Korah and his sons were like, yeah, why them? Why not us? And so they tried to hoist a rebellion and say, no, it should be us. Look at us. We sing very well. You know? We sing very well. We lead very well. Come on, don't make Levi do it. Levi can't even hold a key to save his life. Let me go and do it. Then there was a fight, there was judgment, and the sons of Korah henceforth can only be the ushers of the tabernacle and the temple. They can never themselves go in to the temple space or the Holy of Holies. But in their humility, they are still good songwriters, and they wrote half. And in Book 3 of Psalms, they wrote half of all the Psalms in that one. And it's all songs of praise, reflection, adoration, while they're still guarding and caring the perimeter of the tabernacle. Book 2 of Psalms is interesting because it also changes the direction of worship from a personal focus to a corporate focus. Okay, in the Book 1 of Psalms, you will see a lot of times a reflection on me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is a personal reflection, direction in worship. So how do we individually worship? Whereas Book 2 already is the beginning of, it's not just me, it's now we. And even in Psalm 42 and 43 later when we read, you will notice that it may say, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Now, although it is sounds singular, why are you downcast, O my soul? But because it is a three-verse chorus repeat three times in Psalm 42 and 43, and because it is a maskil for the director of music, it means this is made for corporate worship. So how are we supposed to worship together? And that's why in the coming weeks, you will see songs of repentance, songs of praise, songs of requests, songs of crying out, songs of celebration. And the objective is we are teaching each other how we can do that together. And finally, you will notice that there is a nuance change in reference to the holy name of God. In Book 1, and consecutive books, you will see the Lord, capitals L-O-R-D, is used often because they are worshiping directly, uniquely, Yahweh, He who calls Himself by that name. that specific God who is exalted far above all gods, who is the only one and true God. But as you might know, in Jewish culture, the name Yahweh is so holy that they dare not even call him by that name because they don't want to dishonor him even by saying his name the wrong way. And so normally when they see Yahweh, they either say Hashem, the name, or they will say Adonai, the Lord. You know, so that then creates a slight distance on how we can come to God honestly, sincerely, open-heartedly. But book two uses the term, the generic term Elohim, a lot more compared to Yahweh. Why? Because book two is promoting the idea that our God, the Holy One, is an accessible, personal, loving God. And you can go to Him with all your emotions, with all your anxieties, and all your worries. Okay, so that is how. So that is the direction and attitude we are looking into, book 2. Now for the psalm. Let me read to you Psalm 42 and 43, and let me read to you as a prayer. Yeah, I'm just gonna elaborate a few points in this because the time is limited for us today. We had a lot of things to do. But let me read it to you, already beginning my time in prayer as I read Psalm 42 and 43. So as we open our Bibles, interestingly and reflectively, let us pray. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are my God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Hear our cry, O God, as we reflect and meditate on the lament of the past in your word for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 42 and 43 is from the sons of Korah. It is an exile psalm of lament. So what this tells us is that the person that is writing this psalm is reflecting on the time that they are exiled in Jordan. Not the Babylon one, not the Mesopotamian one, not the Persian one. There was another exile that had happened where instead of going to those empires, they went south, southwest to Jordan. Whatever the reason is, they could not go back home. They could not balik kampung. Yeah, they could not go back to the temple where they found strength. And they asked the question, where? And while they are longing to go there, the people of Jordan there, they hated the Israelites so much, and they know that they were cast out from Jerusalem, that they would then continue to prod them, bully them, and say, haha, where's your God now? The temple lights are down. You can't go back. So it's a lament. And from the lament comes the honest cry of one's soul, of their soul, that is to desire and hope to return to God's temple and, most importantly, God's hope. A bit of architecture and cultural understanding. If you ever go to the Holy Land, you will notice that Jerusalem is up on a hill, and so you're always walking up. And when you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where it's on Golgotha, it's also going up. And when you go to the Western Mount, the Western Wall, where the Temple of Jerusalem used to be, it's up on the highest point of Jerusalem. It's walking up. Now, it's hard to think about it, but you must understand that the temple lights are always on. They always light with oil. They always refresh the oil so that way, and because the altar of sacrifice is burning the offerings of the Lord day and night, it is a huge blaze of fire. And in those days where light pollution was minimal to nothing, in the dark of the wilderness, suddenly there blasts a light and they say, there is my God. There is my God. I can rest assured that my God is with us. Then suddenly, the lights go off. Then they are literally and figuratively in their soul lost in darkness. So that is the feeling that they're having. And from there, they are asking, where if the temple is not there, where can I find my hope? Some of us may not remember it. But I wonder if we remember our feeling when we saw on the news when the Twin Towers in New York was hit and we were seeing it in smoke and then suddenly it went down. And I remember vividly because I was the first one to see it on CNN, on Astro, because I was flipping through Cartoon Network on Nothing Nice to See. Then I saw, wow, how come there's a movie on CNN one? There's bombing, there's the airplane go through, there's fire, there's smoke. It's like, no, it's the news. Better go tell my parents. Then, so we were watching and waiting to see what's going to happen. And when it fell, there was a vivid augment of silence at that moment. Do you remember that? I remember that. I was what? 14 years old, and I remember that audible silence of... Now what? Because the Twin Towers represented progress, prosperity, modern day marketplace, because it was the World Trade Center. It represents the hopes of people digging themselves out of poverty into prosperity, and it all fell to pieces. After that moment of silence, people then started looking for, okay, now, where can I look? Where can I go? Where can I find hope when the corporate secular representation of all that is beautiful suddenly fell to pieces? You will notice that people did not run to police stations. They didn't go to ambulances for hope. They didn't go to the fire and rescue department for hope. the churches were filled in New York and Washington. Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. had 24-hour vigils for 40 days, and it was packed all the time. Why? Because they are asking themselves, look at all this calamity. Oh, my soul, you are downcast. Let's put our hope in God, the one that we tend to forget when we are comfortable, but we rush to when we're in trouble. So Psalm 42 and 43 is divided into two sections. You will see elements of laments in the verses, but you will also see the solution in the chorus. In the verses of Psalm 42 and 43, you will find the laments are quite diverse. It covers a number of topics, from past traumas to present struggles and even to future uncertainties. So I'm not sure where your journey is in your life right now, whether you are still recovering from a trauma of the past, or if you are currently in some predicament, whether it be financially you are tight, emotionally you are drained, you are anxious over a medical health scare, or you really don't know what your future will be like, whether it be next week, next month, or next year. So the psalm here is a good expression of that, of all these things. Because the sons of Korah that were writing this, they were traumatized by the exile, they were presently in anguish, and they can barely see what will happen to them in the near future. You will also see a sense of emptiness, doubt, feeling overwhelmed and lost. Yeah? Just allow me to poke a little something. For those of you who've been Christians for a long time, you know this song, right? As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. We tend to think of it very romantically, very gingerly, very like, I'm sure you're thinking of Bambi, right? Going to the fields, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. I always wondered, it's weird. Why? What's the point? The point is not to think about the deer. The point is to think about the deer that is so anxious, he's so thirsty, he's running all over the place looking for water, and there's no lake and there's no river in sight. That's the feel. That's how we should feel. So it should not be, you know, as the deer. No, it should be, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Then the rest makes sense. Sing with me. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. The chorus, then it hits high, right? Because you are then seeing that sense of hope. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. That's what they're feeling. And guess what, guys? It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to come to the house of the Lord broken, like the ones that were covered in the debris in World Trade Center. They went into the churches of New York because they were looking for a place they can do triage. And it was both a physical and spiritual hope. You may come empty. You may come with doubts. Not every Christian here comes here with all the answers. Moreover, we come here with questions, but we know, oh my soul, you can put your hope in God. But don't think that we came here with all the answers. No, don't think that you come here thinking that, oh, Pastor Mark knows all the answers. No. We are all equally lost souls, saved by grace in Jesus Christ. And because he shows us that light, we can then go in that direction together. You may feel overwhelmed. There's a lot of work to do in your life. Some of us, we are retired, but we're more busy retired than we were when we were in corporate. There are students over here that doesn't know how to break it to their parents that they're not doing well in their university or in their studies. There are some people who are trying to hold a brave front. And if I may say prescriptively to men especially, please take time to cry once a quarter. Crying is the extraction of the festering of repressed emotions in our soul. And I invite you to cry. Because that's what the sons of Korah were doing when they were writing this song. They were crying. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. What does that mean? Which reminds me, there are new Bibles out there. This time round is to give away. We have Bibles in the New King James by the Gideons. And I've asked them, what do we do when Gideon Bibles are left in the church? They say, well, give it away. So give to give, please. There are plenty out there. There's also a very nice set of bilingual. Yeah, because the message of hope is meant for all nations, all languages. So we have English and Mandarin, bilingual. And I'm glad to see many study Bibles were taken. But the two sad ones were not. One of them was the Thompson Chains Reference Bible. Another one is this poor, sad, lonely, wiry study Bible. Let me share with you what this study Bible can actually help you. It's in an unfamiliar Bible version. It's called the NAS. It's old-ish English. But if I may intrigue you, let's look at the notes of what it says. And when I was thinking about how do I explain the deep calls to deep, you know, what does that mean? Psalm 42, in this part, it says, deep calls to deep, the floods and cataracts of the headwaters of the Jordan River there, right? The way, illustrate the waves of sorrow that overwhelm the writer. So when he's writing deep calls to deep, He is displaying his sense of overwhelmed loss. He's feeling overwhelmed. His emotions is just piling on top. And whether you're a Christian here, a new Christian here, or you've been here a long time, or if you're new to this church, I would like to implore us that we can be honest with our emotions. So not only so that we can be honest of ourselves and have that sense of relief that we have a safe space to express ourselves fully, but it also then allows us to cry for help unto God, and maybe God will send one of his people within the church to help you. And finally, there's a sense of God's comfort seems distant. God's comfort seems distant. Many times in the new disciples' life, they will come up to me later. Let's say they receive Christ in June, July. They'll come up in August, September, especially young people near exam season. They'll be like, Pastor, I felt so much empowered in June, July because I received Christ during the school holidays. So it was quite easy or quite happy. But now when things get difficult, why does it feel that when I pray to God, I hear a profound silence from God? And the answer actually can be seen here. Number one, you will notice that God, although his comfort may seem distant, his presence is still there. That's why the sons of Korah still says to himself, oh Lord, if you can hear me, and I know you're a faithful God, in your time, shed a light for me. Help me. And if I still remain, if I feel lonely in this space, oh Lord, remind me, oh God, that I may feel lonely, but genuinely by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, I am not alone. I have the whole family of God within me. By his Holy Spirit. So therefore, what is the solution? The chorus tells us that we can actually do a few things. Number one is we can acknowledge our struggles and don't ignore it. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? It's not a rhetorical question. It is a honest self-reflection of acknowledging, okay, what are my struggles? And let's not be light about it. Let's not just say, oh, you know, times has been difficult. Itu saja. No, there's more to it than that. You know, I've been hurt by a family relative. My friend misunderstood me. I am underappreciated at work. I don't know how am I going to pay the bills next month. I have so many of these things, you know. Honest. It's okay. That's exactly what the sons of Korah were doing in Psalm 42 and 43. But number two, preach hope. Preach hope to you, to yourself. Have you noticed, the chorus especially, you are not speaking to God. The sons of Korah was not speaking to God in the chorus. He is actually speaking to his soul. Now in Hebrew, the soul basically means the whole self. Oh, Mark, why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. And you will put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Because why? He is my Savior and my God. How do I know that? Well, thankfully, those for us now in the era of Jesus Christ, we now see God as our Savior because he died for us on the cross for our salvation. And he is my God because he is not just a dead prophet. He rose again from the dead and proved that he is God with us, Emmanuel. So preach hope. And finally, continue praising God, your salvation. If you can't see God's work in the present now, remember the work of God in your life in the past. And why? If he is who he claims to be, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, then what he has done in the past, his love and faithfulness then, will be the same loving and faithful God today, and he will continue to be the same in the future. That's why the chorus is repeated three times. The first one is to feel that emotion. The second time is to remember, oh, my soul, put your hope in God, my rock, for I will yet praise him, my salvation and my God. And we continue to praise him for what he has done, for what he is doing, and what he is about to do. So it cannot help but go into an uplifting part in the chorus. Some reflection questions. And this is something that you discuss in your CGs. Yeah, if you're going through the discussion questions based on the message. How do you respond to the feeling of spiritual drought when God seems distant in your life? Because we have felt that dryness before, right? Difficult. And when we pray, we feel like it's in vain. How do we overcome it? Many of us, especially mature Christians, we have gone through multiple seasons of that. Some of us may even be going through that season now. Maybe we can then learn from one another, from one's experience and in reflection of the Word. How often do you preach truth to yourself instead of just listening to your fears and emotions? So what have you been saying to yourself? Have you just been saying, oh, you know, I'm useless, no one listens, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, no, you know? Are you speaking that kind of anxiety only? While it's okay to reflect, it's also important to preach the hope that Christ has put in you. Yeah? Every time a preacher, an evangelist preaches, he's not just preaching to the congregation, he is also preaching to himself because he himself is also a broken, lost sinner. How comfortable are you in being honest with God in your prayers, even when it feels disrespectful or faithless? On Saturdays and on Sundays, GEM prayer meeting, one of the things that we do is that we break into small groups. We will pray for what we see in the weekly prayer focus. But what's important also is that they take the time to be honest and share with one another their struggles. So I highly encourage you, invite you, because I know personally how refreshing it is that even I as a pastor can go to my fellow brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties and say, bro, I messed up last week. Man, I'm so tired. Even though I didn't preach for 6 weeks, I still had so many other things to do. And one thing they can do is they encourage, yeah, pastor, don't worry, we got your back. And that is such an encouragement. And come, let's pray for Pastor Mark. If you're looking for that, no judgment, but only to help you pray when you seem faithless and empty, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, I hope to see you there. And finally, what does it mean to place your hope in God when your circumstances haven't changed? Yeah? I put my hope in God. You know? Maybe he will drag me out of this predicament. And we know the God of miracles, he can do many things. But while it's not yet changing, maybe he's asking us to sit in our current predicament and help us realize how much we need him. And what are you asking God to shine his light and truth on in your life? Yeah? This is to help you understand or help you ask God, what is it that really matters in your life? Sure, you may tell God what you feel, but do you know if what you feel is truly what matters in your life? Are you asking God to shed light on such a small thing that you haven't given him the chance to actually blast his glowing glory in all of your life? If we let God shine beyond our troubles, he will give us rainbows upon rainbows of hope. So the question is to encourage you to expand God's participation in your life with light and truth. Let me end with this. It says, Martin Luther King Jr., when he was facing a very tall order for racial equality and the 14th Amendment that was done in the United States, here's what he says. He says, in our lives, times are difficult. We must accept finite disappointment. And in the commentary of his speech, he is referring to that a lot of times we may struggle and may feel that we have made progress only to suddenly realize that we were dragged behind, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Let's acknowledge it. And express that discontentment and disappointment with all that we have. Sure, we must accept finite disappointment. But please, in all this, never lose the infinite hope. That's what drove Martin Luther King, who was a preacher, and he led for human rights on the principle that in Christ we are all one. Oh my soul, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. I hope that we will express that. For closing song, we will sing Lord from Sorrows. It's actually an inspiration from Psalm 42 and 43. May I implore you, download it from YouTube or listen to it regularly on YouTube for this week to help you express. I may ask you to listen to the original key, because the key that we sing is how much we can sing. Huh? Yeah? Yeah? And that's why we sound very high church solemn. Oh my soul, put your hope in God. No, it's not that. No. In the key that Matt Bozeman planned that song, so that's why the style and the key and the thing is all taught on. It is actually a cry of anguish. Oh my soul, put your hope in God, my help, my rock, I will praise him. Sing, oh sing, through the raging storm. You're still my God, my salvation. It's an invitation for you to be all out emotionally, honest before God, and know that he will hold you fast. He will care for you. He is your God and your salvation. Let's pray. Lord, we give you praise for the Psalms to teach us on how we can express ourselves honestly and sincerely to you. We sometimes put you where you deserve to be, O God, on the throne of grace. You are high and mighty. But we thank you, O Lord, for not just being that Yahweh, that Adonai, but you are also Elohim. You are Emmanuel. You are God, whom we can invite into our lives all the time, and you are certainly God with us. Lord, we pray that as we go through some of the anguishes and obstacles in our lives, Lord, look at our hearts, look at our soul, look at our whole being, and see how tired we are. And in that, oh Lord, we ask that you speak to us, the reality of our situation, the ability to overcome or to even go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes may be difficult. The cancer prognosis may not seem hopeful. But Lord, remind us that you are hopeful. That you are the one that gives hope beyond measure. That you give that infinite hope. Lord, we want to acknowledge our disappointments, but pull us out of our finite disappointments, O Lord, so that we can put our trust in your infinite hope. And thank you for the foretaste of that hope when we saw Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the tomb. You remind us that the life that we have, how difficult or miserable it may be, is not the end, for you come to give life and life abundant. So Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will go with us this day and forevermore, that we will speak to ourselves, oh my soul, put your hope in God, my help, my rock, I will praise him. We pray, oh Lord, that we'll be able to sing to my brothers and sisters that God, you my God, you are still my God and my salvation. May we learn that from the sons of Korah today, and may we reflect that all the days of our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name.